Ludwig and Anna Knaus had several children together, among whom two sons were Sebastian Heinrich Knaus, who was born in the Old Country, and his brother Daniel Knaus, 1728 to 1792, seventh great uncle, who was born in 1726 in Montgomery, Pennsylvania, when Sebastian Heinrich was 12 years old. Even though a few years separated them, these boys were very close. Later in life, when they got married, they lived side by side on some of their father Ludwig's land and started their own families. All the children were inseparable between the two homes, and both houses celebrated the holidays together. Each summer, they held a family reunion, and other relatives of both sides of the families came to enjoy each other's company and eat a great meal together. At each of the family get-togethers, they all took part in the communion service before they ate their meal. The glass communion cup that was given to Peter Lee Knaus by Elizabeth Luther had long since disappeared. Whether after generations its value had faded, or over time it became chipped and someone just threw it away, it was no longer with the family, but the communion service was. Sebastian and Daniel, from the time they were young boys, they were always eager to break the bread and pass the cup while celebrating the Lord's Last Supper. Ludwig taught his sons to love serving the Lord by how he lived his day-to-day life. None of these men were pure saints, but they were servants eager to serve the Lord. So many essential things were hard to come by that it was easy for both boys to count their personal blessings. Their families came first in all matters. The stories about Jesus were no longer told around a campfire with the local storyteller, but now they were taught from the Bible next to the fireplace in their log cabin. The light from the fireplace brought to life the stories, and huddled together they kept warm. Family values that bonded together each member, young and old, were necessary just to survive in this new land. Native Americans that had lost their homeland to the new settlers were still an ever-present danger, and they could threaten families living alone at any time. Many children died very young or did not survive childbirth without modern medical care, and this was a high risk to their mothers. So, families stayed together internally, and groups of families bonded to form small communities that all depended upon each other. One day, when Sebastian was at the trading post resupplying his needs, he heard the latest news. A young man had been found wandering alone and scared in the wilderness. He was believed to be the son of a family that had moved to the frontier settlement, and his parents were massacred by the Indians, and he'd been carried into captivity. Having nearly lost his original language during the time he spent with the Indians, it was difficult to make himself understood, but he told his story the best he could. It was a story about a family that the toils of a lifetime were brought to ruin. In humiliation, his parents had turned their faces and steps to the wilderness of the far west in hopes to retrieve their fortune and a better future. The boy was only 7 years old when the chief of the tribe adopted him, and he was treated very kindly. Unfortunately, the chief lost his life in the Indian Wars, and his adopted mother became the wife of a second husband. This fierce Indian warrior treated the boy with much roughness and severity. This behavior toward her son incensed his mother, who had always treated him with kindness. She was determined to retaliate on her new husband and prevent the white boy from receiving any more abuse. One time, when her husband was off on a long hunt, she sent him to the white folks at the settlement. She assumed that his parents were still living, and he would be better off living with his own people. The young man was now 14 years old, having lived in captivity for 7 years. His adopted mother provided him with a small sack of pounded roasted corn and dried venison. She started him along the trail through the forest and told him to
travel 3 days in the direction of the sun, and then you will reach the home of the white men. There you will find your own father and mother.
When he reached the settlement, he sought in vain for his parents. Only by persuasion was he prevented from returning to the Indians. He went homeless and resorted to the community for help and employment. A British vessel of war was in the harbor in need of recruits, so they came inland to get them. and the young man was seized again and forced by a press gang into naval service. He was only 15 years old, but he served 7 years with the hardships of a sailor's life. During his seafaring time, he received from his shipmates the rudiments of a meager education. He deserted the ship off the coast of New Jersey, and by the grace of God, he discovered some of his kin. He had a very picturesque career. He and his family were the first white settlers. His romantic sojourn with the Indians and being forced on a British man of war made him a very cold and unreachable young man. This was one of many stories going around the trading post about the relationships with the Native Americans. After another Indian massacre, a few old men, women, and children, about 50 in all, fled the forest for the safety. A single sack of Indian meal constituted their only provisions. Nathaniel Parker was killed in the attack, and his wife lay in a hollow log with her baby and watched while the Indians ran through the woods on their terrible mission. After several days of suffering and being pursued by the Indians, a portion of these helpless wanderers found their way to the nearest settlement. They were given food, water, and shelter, and a blind mare on which to carry the young children on their journey back east. Sebastian Heinrich also heard about the Bradford family killings. On the morning of May 27, 1756, while Joshua Bradford was pounding corn, a party of Indians approached his cabin. He sounded the alarm with a shot fired from his rifle, but this was unheard by his family, and the savages entered the dwellings, instantly killing Mr. and Mrs. Bradford. Their daughter, Maltia, aged 14, fled with her infant sister, Elijah, toward the forest, seeking a safe place to hide. An Indian threw a tomahawk at her, infecting a deep wound in her side, but she pressed on to safety. Two of her brothers were captured and sent to Canada, and they remained there until Quebec was taken by General Wolfe, when they were freed and then returned to the Mudancook Bay Colony.